The first poem that I'm going to read relates to the fact that older people are frequently marginalized, especially older people who love one another in ways that younger people do. We all often think of them differently. This first poem is about two people who are very much in love with one another. By the first light of day, I see the outline of your face by the first light of day. My eyes turn beyond to the strokes of black cedars cast against an amber sky. Their silhouettes bend over the water that lies before them. Your silver hair wisps back from your eyes, from the brim of your forehead. Sunlight streaks across the lake to glance your features, splaying opal hues that kindle your smile. I follow the furrows in your waning world, beyond the first light of day, beyond the strokes of cedars, beyond the captivating brink of the sky. I was in New York this past weekend. I was brought up in New York. The subways haven't changed a bit. The only difference is the crowds and the proximity to others. This one is called Subway, and this is about a young woman in the throes of the subway. And it's called, oddly enough, Subway. When a train speeds into a station, it looks at me angrily, menacingly. It regards me with disgust. The roar of the train rushed closer and louder through the tunnel, pushing stale air past my face. Screeching to a stop, it slapped open its doors to engulf the passengers, then quickly clamped them shut, two guillotine blades that would just as soon leave half a person behind. Captives we, in a missile, in a tube, like a string of torpedoes poised to whoosh into the depths of the sea. I squeezed in amongst the crowd to occupy a space abutting the body parts of a stranger in the next world away. We swayed with the contours of our bodies to the rhythm of the train. I tripped against this young man, his hand in the pocket of his gray tweed coat, the other gripping the pole in the middle of the aisle, giving me my ballast. He must have thought me a rick of bones, unaware of the way I curled my warmth around his eyes. We arrived at my station. The door snapped open. Passengers out. I bumbled up the steps to the street, leaving behind my handsome new friend, whom I'll never see again. I count the chuck holes past the tangled tall brick buildings to my flat, my basement flat, my claustrophobic flat, its crowded sofa, cushions, lamps, bedroom, a single bed, a lonely bed that waits for my body to sink into its folds and lose my soul in a sea of dreams. Only once has a calloused hand stroked back the hair on my forehead. Only once have I been roused and kissed in the middle of the night. Only once. Thank you. The next poem is a bit of a fantasy. It's about an older person, a woman, but the poem doesn't say that. You have to regard this fantasy in your mind. It's called If You Search. If you search for me where I live, at the ocean's edge, at the ocean at its edge, at the edge of its lapping back and forth, you'll find mild distortions where the rocks have molded into statues. Where I live, where they lie, there are many, and they speak almost like people. Their capriciousness lines the pebbled patch where my bare feet learned to walk like them, down to the smallest fraction of emotion. When they feel me come, they smooth their features to let me pass, as I do when I lie in the sun and mold the contours of my body to fit their shapes. When you search for me, you must remove your shirt and skirt and shoes and wander over the rocks and imagine I am with you to teach you their names. I think we'll make this one the last one. This is called Alexander. Alexander is missing in the poem, but he's spoken about in very interesting ways, I hope. This is a couple who's just split or are about to. Alexander. And lastly, Alexander, does my pain not show through my blouse? Would I not simply have wished to find a better way to show you my heart? Have we not reached for the great spire on the chapel, yearning for the warmth of a human breath? Could I have searched for a better way to mend the dint of a stricken bond? Alexander, I'm ready now. I'll remove my blouse. Fondle my breast. It won't infect you. Neither will it send you on your way, nor will it bring you back. Nor is it any longer mine, nor can I recognize its owner, nor can I pay homage to love, nor any more to you, having left me to struggle against myself alone.